open them to the book of Isaiah, chapter 43. We're going to look at into the prophet Isaiah this morning. We're going to read some of the words that he encouraged the nation of Israel with. And then we're going to continue on celebrating using the word of God, using the milestones that people are walking through just to create faith in our hearts that God is going to keep doing fantastic things here at Evangel Assembly in the hearts and lives of many people. So Isaiah chapter 43, verses 5 to 7. And then verses 16 to 19. This is what it says. Isaiah 43, verse 5 says, "Do not be afraid, for I am with you. I will bring your children from the east and gather you from the west. I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, do not hold them back. Bring my sons from afar and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Everyone who calls by my name, whom I created for my glory, whom I formed and made." And verse 16 says this. This is what the Lord says. "He made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters, who drew out the chariots and horses, the army and reinforcements together, and they lay there, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. And so forget former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland." Let's pray together this morning. Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for the celebration that we've already started and for the celebration that will carry on throughout our time here together this morning. And I just pray that you would fill our hearts with your joy this morning. In the name of Christ, we pray. Amen. In those first couple of verses that we read from the prophet Isaiah, he says this to the nation of Israel, "I will gather your children." And when the prophet Isaiah was delivering this statement, "I will gather your children," it was in a day that the nation of Israel was living separated from one another and from their homeland. They couldn't look around and say, "That's right, Isaiah, we see this happening." This was a day when they were oppressed. They were not even in control of their own lives. They were in exile under the thumb of an enemy nation. And so I can imagine that they felt like nothing or no one or anything could ever change the rut that they were in. And it wasn't even just a week, a month, a year. They were there for decades. That's all they had known. There were children that were raised in exile that never knew the goodness and the glory and the provision of God except what he had done in exile. But they had never known the ability to worship freely in a temple. They had never seen the former days. All they knew was captivity and separation. And then the Lord brings Isaiah, and he says, "I'm going to bring my people back together." And Bud and I didn't have this conversation, but he sang a great song this morning that goes right with this prophecy. Isaiah says, "I'm going to bring them back from the east and from the west and from the north and the south. I'm going to call, I'm going to bring my sons and my daughters home." The prophet Isaiah says the Lord will call his people back together. And you know what, folks? The prophecy that Isaiah gave is so fitting for us at Evangel Assembly in this season because some people are returning to the faith that they once had and taking steps further in discipleship. Some people are simply returning to Evangel Assembly, and it is fantastic to see faces we once knew, to see them fellowshipping again. And some people are embracing a first-time faith in Christ, and they're embracing Evangel Assembly as their first-time church family. And the Lord is doing all of that right now in this season here at Evangel Assembly. The nation of Israel probably wondered when they heard this prophecy, is this possible? Can this really happen? Can the Lord really do this? Don't mind the drain. Kind of sounds like duct tape being ripped, but it's the drain. I just hope it's draining into the right place. Any minute now, it should be done, right, Oe? Yeah. And yet, it's not. We'll make a mental note to pull the plug after the service next time. There we go. That's right. Calm down back there. So the nation of Israel, when Isaiah delivered this message to them, and he said, I'm going to call people from east and west and north and south, I'm sure they wondered, can this really happen? Maybe one or two, but that's probably it, right? You know, maybe just a few. Maybe we'll see a glimpse or a glimmer, but maybe not a whole lot, right? Because that is their human minds. That is our human logic, our human wisdom. When we advance sometimes, we think, well, that was a blessing. Phew, I'm glad God stuck in there and held us up and provided for us. But then the next time we need God to intervene, we get nervous again. I don't know if he will. I don't know if he will. But the prophet Isaiah was saying that, yes, God can. In fact, in verse 16, he says this. He made a way through the sea, a path through the mighty waters. You see, Isaiah was reminding the nation of Israel of some of the stories of their past, that they were in captivity, enslaved in the nation of Egypt. And when they were given the green light to leave Egypt and to move forward, there was this big obstacle in their way. It was the Red Sea. And they ran up to the Red Sea and they looked at the big obstacle and they thought, we can't get past this. Why did God take us from where we were and bring us yet to this obstacle where we're going to die here? Why couldn't we just have stayed in Egypt or died in Egypt? And the Egyptian armies were chasing them from behind. But then he reminds them what God did in that situation. He made a path through the waters. Moses prayed in the sea opened, and the whole nation of Israel was able to pass through safely. And their enemies, they started into the opening, but then, verse 17, God drew out the chariots and the horses and the army and the reinforcements, and the waters closed in on the enemies. They laid there, the prophet Isaiah reminds them, never to rise again, extinguished, snuffed out like a wick. The past that wanted to hold the Israelites back from moving forward was defeated by the hand of the Lord. Any opposition that might come in opposing us moving forward, the Lord is already there. The Lord goes before us. He fights our battles, and we can remain faithful in knowing that. And the second thing this morning, he says this in verse 19, behold, I am doing a new thing. The prophet Isaiah says, forget the former things. Don't dwell on the past. I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? The prophet asks the nation. Folks, new things can be frightening, right? New things can be scary. I mean, I get that. In the middle of celebration and of moving forward, it's always a little bit unsettling, isn't it? When Diana and I were talking this morning before church, she said she's excited and she's nervous. And I said those two things usually go together when you're making steps forward, when you're moving into new things. You wonder, what will it be like? And when we move into new things together, we wonder, what will the future look like? When Mandy and I accepted the call to come be your lead pastors on July 9th last year, we celebrated that night. We were really excited, but we were also quite nervous. It was a huge change for us to bring our children who were born in Ontario, to bring them here to Nova Scotia with us. And then even after we got here September and October, if I'm being honest, that was really tough on me because for 10 years I had ministered in a certain context with a certain team of people and we did things a certain way and then you don't do them the same way I'm used to doing them. It's the time a pastor gets to say that to the congregation. And so, you know what, it was different. And so, you know, we worked through those things. And I know that it's been a change for you too. I'm different. My wife tells me that often. She says, you're different. Don't you? That's right. I probably preach differently than you're used to, or maybe different than what you're familiar with. And I have different ideas sometimes, like cookies in the foyer after the Christmas cantata, or a Christmas banquet on a Sunday morning after church. But folks, we're in it together, and we're doing new things together. I'm doing new things in ministry that I've never done before, and it's nervous. It causes some anxiety sometimes, but we're moving forward. And you know what? God is moving in the middle of it, because in the 9 months that we've been together, we are celebrating today the conclusion of a foundations class with a water baptism, with memberships, and with people gathering with us regularly that wouldn't have been here 9 months ago. And so we did that together as we are allowing the Holy Spirit to move in our midst, and as we are being the people that reach out. And we are being the people to hear the voice of God. We are doing that together. And so let's keep doing it. So the prophet says, forget about the hurts and the pains, the chaos of the past month, the past year, the past decade, the past who knows how long. He says, just let all that go, Israel, he says. That's behind us, because what we have right now is the present moment. And today is a good day to be part of Evangel Assembly, right? Absolutely. And so I want to encourage you to jump in and to move forward as the Spirit of God tugs on your heart and prompts you, and cooperate with the drawing and the leading of the Spirit. Expose your life to prayer, even more prayer than maybe you currently do. Expose your mind to the Word of God and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you through that. Because, folks, we can't sit back and watch Evangel become amazingly empowered by the Spirit, because we are Evangel. We can't sit back and watch the Spirit move, because the Spirit moves through us. We are Evangel. And so if our hearts aren't changed and challenged and transformed and moved, then the Spirit will not move at Evangel Assembly. Because the moving of the Spirit in any church is directly related to the moving of the Spirit in the personal lives of the people in that church. And so I want to encourage you with that. And as you hear a few stories this morning, and as you hear about foundations and the graduates that have come through that, as you hear about water baptism, as you hear about membership, as you hear about moving forward with God, if any of that tugs on your heart, I would encourage you to take steps forward. Foundations will happen again in September. And that feels like a long ways away, but it'll go pretty fast. September is coming. Sharon at the information booth has all of the information about these things, foundations, baptism, membership, all of these kinds of things. You feel free to chat with her, talk with me, talk with our deacons, because if God is stirring your heart, now is the time to move forward. Now is the time to capitalize on that and to move forward where the Spirit of God is drawing you. And so I mentioned two particular stories, and I'm going to ask those two people who are sharing those stories to join me here on the platform. I'm going to invite Tim Fevens to join me and Bobby Brandon to join me on the platform. You guys can come on up right now. And we're going to talk about some stories, some things that God has laid on their hearts. And remember how when we talked about Phil and Donna Williams and the missions work that they were doing, they had a vision 15 years ago. God put a burden on their heart. And now 15 years later, we see what they've done. You guys can go take a seat in the comfy chairs. 15 years ago, we saw that God put a burden on their hearts, and now what is done. But this morning, we're going to hear a different kind of story. This morning, we're going to hear a story about a burden God put on a heart just several months ago. And we're going to hear a story about some courage that another person took just a week ago, and how God is using those small steps into birthing into who knows what in 5 or 10 years. And it's going to encourage you that you can start small and follow with God as well. Sound good? Sound like a plan? Okay, well, I'm going to go join these young men over here. Yeah, feel free to grab that microphone. And it's kind of funny. It was pointed out to me this week that I've been I've got the two gentlemen who have sworn me back for all the poking I do at their age, because they're older than me. In fact, they're in another whole decade than I am. And I've really enjoyed mentioning that several times. I'm not sure how wise that was, because now I have them on the platform with me with a microphone. But hey.
I think I heard Pastor Nathan say this morning that he's getting older, so he hasn't escaped old age yet.
I'm getting older. Yeah, I'm getting older.
I think he forgot something because he's getting older.
So since you have the microphone, this is Tim Fevens. Tim, some of us may not know who you are, so just give us a brief moment of who you are and when you first accepted Christ into your life.
So, of course, my name is Tim Fevens. I was born and raised in Evangel right from basically birth, and I guess I was blessed in that way because not everybody has that opportunity. And growing up in church, sitting in the pew, I remember many different times when you'd see the Spirit of God moving, and that always held a place in my heart, just proving that God is more than just a story you read about in the Bible and something that people talk about. And during my teenage years, I kind of got away from the Lord. I still said I was a Christian, came to youth group, went through all that regular stuff, but never really decided to become a follower of Jesus. Just had the label, I'm a Christian. And at the age of 16, through different situations that happened in my life, basically just hit a big old empty void inside my heart. And knowing that God was real because of growing up in the church and seeing that, I remember I went down to my bedroom one day and I said, God, I said, I have this void in my heart and I know you're real. It's not a question anymore. I need you to fill this, and I just give my life to you. And from that moment on, he had changed my life completely. And from there, he's just been developing and growing into who he wants me to be.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Tim. And so you shared with me, and Sabrina, your wife as well, she was a little bit too shy to come onto the platform, but you can talk with her in the back there. But Tim and Sabrina shared with Mandy and I several months ago just about a burden, a passion that God has put on your heart. And so tell us a little bit about what God has spoken to your heart and that burden or that passion that he has given the two of you specifically.
So for a number of years now, the Lord has placed a burden on our heart to do something more than just come to church and work and just that same cycle that many of us go through. And we knew we wanted to do something. We didn't know what it was. Sabrina kind of had a burden in her heart for people in the community. I have a burden in my heart to share the gospel. And so we just prayed about it. And so many times said, Lord, like, what is going on? This is taking years. Like, what's the story? What's happening? And we just hung in there. And some days we were discouraged and not knowing what to do. And just seems like we were questioning a lot of days, like, Lord, like, did you really place this call on our heart? Like, cause it seemed like it was nothing for years. And then November, I don't remember what Pastor Nathan was preaching about, but he was talking about how he went down to Haiti for a missions trip. And when he said that, instantly, the Lord just spoke to my heart and said, we're calling you guys to be missionaries. Just 1 second. So God has called us, and Emily as well, to be missionaries, except it's to be missionaries here. So many missionaries are called to go out into other parts of the world, but we want to be missionaries here in Yarmouth. Because there's a lot of hurting people here. Everybody that we come across, all of us that we come across every day, they're hurting inside. They're in need, that they have physical needs, whether it's financial, it's material, it's health, it's whatever it is, spiritual, of course. They all have needs, and so God has called us to reach out to those people. Just like missionaries do, like the Williams do down in the Dominican, except he wants us to do it here. And so we don't know everything that entails yet. We're just praying that God would open doors as he sees fit. In February, we handed out some coats. We went down to Elma Square. It was a pretty cold and blustery day, windy. And Pastor Nathan came down with Ben, and some other people came down and just handed out coats, scarves, hats, mittens, socks, and just whoever needed it. And it was just a good time to connect with people. You know, said, hey, we're here from, we're with Evangel. We're not here, Sabrina and I and Emily, we don't want to build a ministry. It's not about building a ministry. It's about building the body of Christ. And so even though we feel God has called us and we have a name for our ministry, Good Samaritan Missions, it's all about building the body of Christ. So if we can reach somebody that can then come to Evangel and be discipled and go through that process of growing in their faith, that's what we want to do. And maybe we reach somebody else and they have family that's at the Wesleyan or at one of the Baptist churches or wherever. I don't care where they go. We just want to reach the lost. We want to love people like God has called us to love people. And so often, all of us pretty much sitting here, we pray for God to move. God's going to move when we move. When we humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, God's not just going to hit us with a spiritual bomb and drop his Holy Spirit on us. It's when his people humble themselves and pray. And when we start living the word, whether it's through prayer, practical ways, worship, when we start living the word of God, you want to see a move of God in this church? Live the word of God. Take up your cross. Everything that is in your life that's not of God, you want to see God move? Lay that down. Lay it all down, and you'll see God move.
And so you've done some work in the town already with handing out hats and mitts and scarves and that sort of thing. But this dream, and this is the unique part of today, it's not a finished story. When we say, tell me your story, it's the first chapter. It's like the introduction for both of these gentlemen today. It's the first chapter, and this is a burden that's on your heart. And so you have no idea where God is going to take this burden that you and Sabrina and Emily share and what doors he's going to open and things. But you've already reached out once with just in very practical ways and made some contacts. And are there any other ways that you are envisioning, any other practical things that you guys have in your minds that you're throwing around right now?
So what we feel, we believe it's what the Lord has spoken to us. Maybe it's our own idea. I don't know. If it's of the Lord, then he'll provide the means. There's a building that we would like to buy. It's been up for sale for years. It comes up for sale. It goes off the market. It comes up for sale. Goes off the market. It's been bought. It wasn't going to be used for whatever. So it's went back for sale. It's up and down, up and down. And we're believing that the Lord will provide the funds for this building, and we can't do it alone, so obviously we need people. And but eventually we want to open up a homeless shelter. There's nowhere for men in this town if they're homeless. You know what, we're thankful for the Shift House where teenagers can go and Juniper House where women can go, but there's nowhere for men. Sometimes people want to go elsewhere. Sometimes people want to stay together as a family if they're homeless. So we'd like to open up a homeless shelter. We'd like to do like a soup kitchen, a clothing drop-off where people who are in need can come there. A drop-in center where after-school kids can come, get away from the chaos that they live in sometimes with fighting parents and just drugs and alcohol. Just a place for them to come and do some schoolwork, just be loved. And who knows what doors that would open up to speak to these kids and to talk to them, whether it's teenagers, elementary school kids, whatever it is. And so that's kind of our, what we see right now is our main goal. Maybe the Lord has more than that. I don't know. But, you know, one thing that the Lord keeps, I feel, speaking to my heart is that we're just regular people. Like, we're not big famous people that have lots of money that God has called to do something. Like, I'm just regular, just like the rest of you guys. Sabrina and Emily, they're like, we're all just regular people. All that we've done is we've pledged allegiance to the Lamb. He said, God, like, we just want to love you and serve you.
Yeah, absolutely. And when Phil and Donna Williams shared their story, it was a very similar story. God spoke to their hearts and called them out of things that lots of people do in the run of a day. And so God has given you guys a dream, and we don't know what the end will look like. We don't know what, you know, a year, 2 or 5 years down the road will look like. But I mean, you're right on the mark about, you know, there's nowhere for men in our town who are on hard times and have difficulties. We've run into that at Evangel a few times with people looking for assistance, and there's no organized way for that particular thing. And so finding out the place and the niche, and God will open the doors. And so thank you for sharing a little bit of your heart and your passion. Thank you for just being vulnerable enough with us to share what God has just recently spoken on your hearts, Tim and Serena both. So just show them your appreciation, folks. And we're going to hear from Bobby in a second. And so there's another young man.
I'm the elder statesman here.
He's the elder statesman on the platform. He is the oldest one on the platform right now, and we're going to hear from his ages and ages of gray-haired wisdom. Right, Bobby? No, I joke. This is Bobby Brannon, and so, Bobby, some of us may know you, some of us may not know you at all. So can you take a moment, just share with us a little bit about how you first came to know Christ?
Well, I was raised in the church. Well, my grandmother started taking me to church when I was 2 years old, and then when she got sick and she couldn't go so much, my uncle Dick Brannon, he started taking me to Sunday school and church with him. Mm-hmm. And
you're nervous, that's okay.
Yeah,
and it's just the three of us sitting here just having a chat.
This ain't Tim Hortons.
Forget about them.
And I was raised in the church, and I started going to youth when it was Fred Kerr, who was pastor at the church, and I was looking for something in my life, growing up in a small community, and I gave my life to God when I was 14, and that stage in our church was when our church was going through a major revival. It was one of the greatest things I've ever.
And that
ever
was Baccaro Pentecostal,
Baccaro,
right?
Baccaro Pentecostal, mm-hmm. Church. And that was amazing at that time. And then as I got older, I slid. When I was around 22 years old, I moved to Yarmouth. I had got married and moved to Yarmouth, and I stopped going to church, and I stumbled, and I went through 11 years of being lost. That's how I see it now. I was lost. And then I went through a big, major thing when I was around 33 years old, and there's a big gap in my life, and I realized there was a really big gap in my life, and worldly things wasn't filling that gap. And I ended up here at Evangel, and this nice little lady, when I come through the door that day, this nice little lady introduced herself. Didn't realize she was the assistant pastor's wife at the time, Tammy. Mm-hmm. Ms. Hansen, she would have met me at the door, and she introduced me to someone I didn't know that was my cousin at the time, Paul Donaldson, and that was my introduction back to church, and I've rededicated my life to the Lord shortly after. Mm-hmm. And it's been trials and troubles that's come along, but mm-hmm. God's helped me through those things.
Yeah, so that was here at Evangel Assembly a number of years ago that God really started to turn things around and bring you on a path forward here you are today. Yeah. So, Alan Forbes, we can blame this on him a little bit because we like to blame things on Alan Forbes.
It's so easy to.
Alan Forbes has been kind of encouraging the men at Men's Fellowship to to consider what gifts they have and to consider what they could do in the body and to consider where they could be used. And so so you, Bobby, shared with me about a month ago that you would like to accompany me on some pastoral visits. You thought that that would be somewhere where you could practically reach out and bless some people. And so you got up the courage, and you and I went on our very first pastoral visit together a couple of weeks ago. And tell everyone how that went, Bobby. And put the microphone up close so we can hear.
We went and visited Phyllis Posse first.
Yeah.
Going back the week before, I should go back the week before, when we went out for coffee, and I dropped you off at the hospital, and the Lord spoke to my heart, you just missed an open door. You've been looking for an open door. I had an open door set before you, and you didn't take it.
Yeah, Bobby and I wrote for coffee, and I asked him to drop me off at the hospital after. Yeah. So he did, and then drove away. And so the Lord really spoke to you then, right?
Yeah, and he spoke to me. There was an opportunity for you to reach out to people that's at the hospital with Pastor Nathan. You've been wanting to do that, and then open the door, but you didn't take it. So I told Pastor Nathan like a couple days later about that, and he said, well, we'll do it again. Well, next time I go, you can come with me. So we made arrangements to go, and we went and visited, and Phyllis Posse was one, and she's a beautiful lady of God. Mm-hmm. And
the second visit was a little bit more difficult.
Third visit?
Oh, sure. There was a couple that morning. Yeah. Yeah. The third visit was pretty difficult.
Very difficult. I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah. Do you want to share?
No. No, not really.
Okay, so you can ask him later on what that was.
Yeah.
Yeah. But. And so after that first experience of doing visitation, and it was all across the board. It was a kind of a crash course into pastoral visitation. You had just been encouraged in your heart so much by just visiting people and brightening their day that even without even talking with me, well, and it was okay to do this, but without even having me there with you, you decided that there was someone in Foundations that you would like to pop in and visit. And so last week, you just called up a couple and said, hey, could I pop over and visit? Tell us about how that went.
I called a couple from church and asked if I could come visit them. And had a very good conversation with them. And they've blessed my life, too. Tongue-tied.
That's okay. So you shared with me at the end of the conversation with them, there was another significant milestone as well. Yeah. where you just took a moment and ran with it.
I have a hard time praying out loud in front of people. And the Lord just had, I said, I would like to pray with you. And he's like, did I just say that? Because like, that's not me. I don't pray out loud unless I'm at home. And even at home, I have a hard time. I usually get my wife to pray. And God let me pray with them, and they prayed with me. And they are a real blessing, that couple. And I've been continuing to talk with them. And they're more of a blessing to me than I think to them sometimes.
That's awesome. And so the couple you went to see were Pat and Phyllis.
Phil.
Pat and Phil, not Phyllis. I'm getting confused too, Bobby. You're making me all stirred up with stories here as well. Phyllis Pache was one day. Pat and Phil, who are sitting over there, were another day. That's okay. So God has really spoken to your heart and given you courage to step out and to just be a minister to people in that respect, just be there for them, to visit people who may not have a visit or who may be down. And you know, even you and I had a tea with Paul Wallace a few weeks ago, and then you've been hanging out with him at the Parent Cafe on Wednesdays. And
we went for coffee the other day, too.
Yeah, that's right.
Very good conversation with him. I think he's coming tonight.
Good. Excellent. So God can use just even small steps of obedience to bless the lives of so many people. And so, and this just happened last week and the week before, folks. These are stories that are just beginning to be written. And so we can celebrate them and celebrate the day of small things, as one of the prophets in the Old Testament says. And so, folks, just show your encouragement to Bobby as well. For the courage it took to step out, and for the courage it took to share those things with us today. Thank you very much. So I want to ask these two men to come on down here. And Alan, can you come up and pray for them? Because you've been, you know, really speaking at Men's Fellowship about men stepping out and using the things that God has put on their heart. And so I thought, what a better opportunity than this for you to come pray for them and to see some of the first fruits in Bobby's life. You've been speaking directly about those sorts of things. And if there's some ladies that would like to lay their hand on Sabrina and pray for Sabrina as well, she doesn't want to come up here, but that's okay. We're thinking of you as well, because you and Emily are in this thing with Tim as well. So if you're around there, just simply lay your hands on them and pray for them as well. But here you go, Alan. If there's men that would like to come on up with Alan, he's feeling lonely. So any men that would like to come on up with Alan and just lay your hands in, and we'll pray for these two, for the stories, the dreams that God has put on Tim's heart, for the courage he has put on Bobby's heart, that though this is just the introduction, the beginning chapters, that God will continue to do things and that we'll be able to celebrate more and more milestones like this in our church. So here you go, Alan. Go ahead and pray.
Father, we're so thankful that we can come before you, the God of the breakthrough, the God who does mighty things through ordinary people. We pray, Father God, and thank you for these two young men. We thank you that you had put ideas in their head and dreams in their heart to do something for you. And Father, we know they don't go alone. Father, we pray that you're helping to put their hands in your hands and walk off into the battle and bring about your victories. Father, use these two men to touch many women and men and children in the town of Yarmouth. Father, not only use them, but raise up people in this church to make a difference in this community. That, Father, we know and realize that the church goes forward marching on its knees. Father, we pray that you'll raise up prayer warriors to pray for these people, to pray for the people of Yarmouth. Father, we want to be difference makers. We want to make differences in Yarmouth and in the people of Yarmouth whom you have put us in this area. Lead us, God, as direct us by your Spirit, and bring about your results because of the willingness of these two young men and other people who you'll rise up to do your work. And it will be a great day and a big celebration when things move all over Yarmouth and in Yarmouth County and even out from there. We'd ask that you do this because you do great things. You do mighty things. So, Father, have your way as only you can. Do what only you can and bring about your results. And we won't forget to give you the honor and the praise and the glory and thanks. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. You can show their appreciation to them as they head back. We're so thankful that God is moving in the hearts of people and in lives and families here at Evangel Assembly. So thank you very much, Bobby and Tim. Appreciate you guys very much. Appreciate you sharing your stories with us. We have just one or two more things to celebrate this morning, because at the end of Foundations, we gave people the opportunity to move forward into church membership if they were ready for that, if that was something that they felt God was calling them to. And we talked about that. Church membership is more than just the ability to vote at a business meeting, although it is that. It's exercising wise judgment and discernment on behalf of the body. But church membership is an affirmation that this is my church, this is my family, and I'm going to stand with them and support them through thick and through thin for this season of life. And we're going to work together and partner together. And so church membership is just an affirmation of all kinds of those great things. And so we have three new candidates, three new church members to welcome this morning. And I've even put their pictures on the PowerPoint in case you can't see them up here. The first, I'm going to welcome Pat and Phil Stoddard to join me here. And because this is such a significant moment, I'm going to invite our deacons and their wives, if they're available, to come on up with me, and we're going to celebrate welcoming Pat and Phil and another in just a moment. But if the deacons and their wives could come on up right now and surround them, we're going to pray for them in just a moment, that would be fantastic. So some of you may know Pat and Phil. They're no stranger to Evangel Assembly in years gone by. There was that very friendly young lady at the door who met Bobby when he first came back to church. That was Tammy. I believe she's related to you.
She's my girl.
She's your girl. She's your daughter. Excellent. And so Pat and Phil, as many of you may know, have ministered faithfully in music over the years. And you may not know this, but they have been an invaluable help to me at our nursing home ministries over the last several months when we've gone to the Villa and to Nikhil. And are those the only two we've been to so far? I think so. And we have more coming up. They have been invaluable. They've done those kinds of things before, and I've never really done a nursing home service. And so we talked, and they sang, and they shared music, and I brought a word. It was fantastic. It was really a pleasure to work with you guys and to get to know you some more. And we also have been praying for Phil, and we will continue to pray for Phil as well, who's right now going through another round of chemotherapy for a cancer that's really multiple myeloma, which it's really taking away your energy sometimes. But we are so glad and so happy that you are here with us today. And we're going to welcome Pat and Phil into membership here at Evangel Assembly. And so, Dave, you're a relative of those, Dave and Doris. Could you guys come over? And Dave, could you pray for them as we lay hands on them and welcome them here at Evangel Assembly?
Well, Father, we just thank you and we praise you, Lord God, for what you are doing in the hearts and the lives of people, O God, that we have heard this morning. We thank you, Lord, for Pat and Phil, Lord. We thank you for their ministry, Lord God. And especially right now, we lift up Phil to you. Yes. Lord, your arm is not shortened, that you cannot heal. And we just ask, Lord, that you'd reach down your hand of healing and that you would touch him, O God. And Lord, that you would just heal him of this disease, Lord. Cancer is nothing to you. It's nothing. And so we just ask, Lord, that you do this for him. And Lord, we just welcome them, Lord, into the church family this day. And we thank you, Lord, that they have come and that they want to serve you in this way. So we ask your special blessing be poured out upon them this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you very much. Pat and Phil, you can stay right there. Deacons, you can stay right here because we have one more celebration. I'm going to invite Bobby and Marsha Brannon to come on forward. Now, Bobby is already a member of Evangel Assembly. Marsha is not yet, or she will be in about 2 or 3 minutes officially a member of Evangel Assembly. But you guys can come on over here. Maybe we'll spread out and give some space. But I've known Marsha for a long time, longer than I've known Bobby. I ran into Bobby when I was in high school. He was long graduated at that point and well into his 20s when I first met him when I was in high school. 5 years is a big deal, though, right? There you go. Exactly. And so, you know, Bobby and Marcia have been involved over the years with youth ministry here at Evangel Assembly. They have often been some of the transportation that has brought students to things like Focus and Youth Convention. Ryan's shaking his head yes, because they've given Ryan some invaluable assistance. And are you guys heading to Youth Convention in a couple weeks? Marcia's heading to Youth Convention with our youth. This is the first youth convention I won't be at in about a decade or more. But someone's got to be here. I look so young, I could just go as a teenager, Bobby says. Thank you for that, Bobby. I appreciate that. That's right, exactly. So they are also graduates of Foundations as well. And as I said, Bobby is already a member of Evangel Assembly, but we are welcoming Marcia Brannon into membership here at Evangel Assembly as well. So I'd like to get the deacons to come on down. We're going to lay hands on Bobby and Marcia, pray for them, and welcome them into membership here at Evangel Assembly as well. And Bud, could you pray as we welcome Bobby and Marcia into membership?
Lord, we thank you for this couple. We thank you that you touched their hearts, that you called them by your name, and that you shed your blood for them, that they have accepted your gift through grace. We thank you, Lord, that they want to serve you and to walk with you and live for you and serve you. So today, Lord, we welcome them into the family of Evangel Assembly. Membership is just one step, but we are family. We are more than membership. We're the family of God in this place. And so we welcome them, we love them, we care for them. We ask, Lord, that you would use them and bless them and strengthen them, encourage them, and prosper them. And with us always, we'll give you the praise and the glory and the honor. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. We're going to have a chance, and we close in just a moment, for you to come on up. The new members are going to stay here, and you're going to have a chance to see them. But I want to acknowledge, too, the other graduates. Tim and Sabrina Fevens have graduated from Foundations. Diana Adams has graduated from Foundations. And Dave and Doris Watkins have been invaluable helping me lead Foundations as well. And so show your appreciation to them as well. And because it's such a celebratory Sunday, I thought I'd make another special announcement here on this Sunday morning as well to let you all know that I mentioned a few weeks ago about our summer student program and how we were looking to find students and funding them ourselves. Well, the Lord has worked out some amazing arrangements. We have two summer students that are pretty much hired here for Evangel Assembly that will be starting in June. They're both Bible college students, young men. So one of the young men is a musician. They're both talented musically. Ryan's excited about that. And so their primary role this summer, and there's an opening for a third as well. Their primary role this summer is going to be doing some things into family ministries and reaching out into the community and celebrating here at Evangel Assembly in some ways that maybe we never have before. And so it is going to be a fantastic summer celebrating God's goodness, celebrating the connections we have in the community, and enjoying the ministry and the assistance of two young men who are pursuing ministry who will be here June, July, and August with us. So that is fantastic news worth celebrating as well. And I thought I'd share that with you this morning, even though it's not coming up for a bit, just to give you something to celebrate. And of course, next week we have our missionary Helen McMinn with us, sharing what God has been doing through her on the missions field and with her transition back into living in Canada into semi-retirement. So this has been a good day. The foundation is having lunch at my house, hot ham. And so if nothing else that you've heard is an incentive for joining Foundations, you get to have lunch at the lead pastor's house when you're done, when you make it all the way through. So let me pray for us. And then when you leave today, please take a moment, come on up and say hi to Pat and Phil and Bobby and Marcia as we're welcoming them into membership here at Evangel Assembly. But let's pray this morning. God, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, that you have sent your Son so that we might have faith, that we might have hope, that we might have joy, that we might have love for one another. Lord, thank you for reaching down and speaking to our hearts and drawing us here together. Thank you for drawing us together under this banner of Evangel Assembly. And I thank you for the things you are doing and for the amazing things that we will continue to celebrate time and time again in the months and years that come. And so, Lord, this is just the first fruits, we pray, and that there will be so much more blessing and transformation that we will celebrate here in lives of people here and as we reach out into our town. So I thank you so much for this. In the name of Christ, we pray together. Amen.